Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-oh. What happened? It was...
When I was 6 years old, I broke my leg. And I was running from my brother and his friends. And tasted the sweet perfume of the mountain grass I rolled down. I was younger then. Take me back to when I found my heart. Broke it here, made friends and lost them through the years. And I've not seen the boring fields in so long. I know I've grown, but I can't wait to go home.
You have stumbled upon a group of poets that hang out at allpoetry.com, and Our little group is sponsored by the Akeley Taylor Poetry Foundation, and we have a show every week, and we have a topic, and the topic for this week is smoke, and there's the three of us here. There's myself, Akeley Taylor. There's my co-host, Jay Hatter. Hi, Hatter. How are you?
You're fine, AP. I'm fine.
And we have Deborah Lee, who gets out front and does all the work to make us look as if we're actually achieving something. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, good, good. Now, I should say a few words about Ed Sheeran and that particular song, Castle on the Hill. It did have... it's a sort of autobiographical song, so it had him smoking cigarettes at 15, which he did, smoked for a number of years, Ed Sheeran. He released that song in 2017, the same day that he went and released Shape of You off his multi award-winning album. It was highly successful. In fact, in the UK, the both singles that he released debuted at 1 and 2. In Australia, that was the case, and it happened in Germany as well. Number 6 in the US, Castle on the Hill, and Shape of You went to number 1. So, being the first artist, Ed Sheeran, ever have two songs simultaneously debut in the US top 10, Hatter. Castle on the Hill is a 9 times platinum song in Australia, 6 times in Canada. It's been compared to a little bit of U2 or a little bit of Train. Hatter, I don't know whether you sort of got that.
Well,
from the
you
song.
Know. Sure, he about climbed to how huge he is, the pinnacle of his fame, as quick as anybody I can think of.
Yes.
Adele, superstar, and really quick. There are some, but I can't think of anybody quicker than him. He's going to be one of these guys who writes a lot of songs for other people, too.
Yes,
I don't know how that works. If they cover it, or if he actually writes specifically for him. I'm not sure.
Oh, I think he does both, Hatter. He writes a lot of songs, and the thing I remember the most very early on in his career, like I'm talking 5-10 years ago, he went and saw The Hobbit, the film The Hobbit, and enjoyed it so much he went and wrote a song about it, and that song, even though it wasn't the official song, became the song that everybody remembered in the movie. It wasn't even the official song, yeah, but I don't know who did the official song, but whoever they did, bad luck, because it's the Ed Sheeran song that's remembered. A brilliant song, actually, but a great songwriter, and was only just recently down here in Australia touring. So that's why we had a bit of Ed Sheeran on, Hatter. So, okey-doke. So, smoke, smoke, smoke. Hatter, how did you go with the wonderful topic of smoke? Because that was my choice.
I was all over the place until I narrowed it down, and then it started to get away from me, so I figured I'd better just wrap it up the way it is. So it's a little scattered, but
yep, okay.
It works.
Okay. Okay. And Deb, how did you go with smoke?
Okay, I combined, I think, 2 different smokes in my poem.
Okay.
So I had a good fun time with it.
Oh, that's good. And I have to remind you, Hatter, that sometime during the show, I'm going to turn around to you and ask you what's the topic's going to be for next week. Yes, so you have
already
to be. Oh wow, that's prepared.
Yes,
that's impressive. Well, you might as well tell me. You might as well tell me if you've got it. it doesn't happen very
often. Monster
what's the
inside,
topic?
The monster inside of you.
The monster inside of you.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, well, we can certainly do that, Hatter. The monster inside of you. Okay. Righto. Duly noted. Duly noted. The monster inside of you has been
excited by Wayne's last night.
Okay. Yes. Well, Wayne was...
disturbing. He was disturbing.
He was kicking goals with pizza anatomy and the whole works. So, now, Deb, you're having the mic.
Yes, please. Two things, both in reference to Sweet Pea. So first, if you guys remember, not all that long ago, she shared a gorgeous portrait of her and her three Australian shepherds.
Yes.
That portrait was for an article that she's going to be in reference to the fact that she runs her own dog club. And whenever she shares the pictures of the Frisbee contests and stuff that she's at, it is from a group that she started. And the reason that I'm bringing that up is because as we speak, our suite is being interviewed to finish off what they need for that article, and then they will feature her in a magazine. And I'm so excited for her. I wanted to say that. So congrats, Sweet Pea. Secondly, Secondly, speaking of Sweet Pea, she messaged me a day or two ago, and we were talking on the phone, and I had mentioned how quickly the trip to Oz is coming up for Hatter to go down there and hang out with you. And she was really excited. And the next thing I know, I got a message from her. She has this really cool picture, and she said, "It's been a while since you've got the guys to do a collab. Would you mind doing this picture?" And the reason I didn't send it out a couple days ago is because she wants to be here when you guys, when I read it for you guys, and of course she couldn't be here this week because she's being featured in a magazine. So I am shooting that off to you. It'll be the first collab in a little bit of time. I'll need a dozen lines from each of you. And again, go Sweet.
So for those of you who haven't listened before, with Hatter and I, 80 times, Deb? 80 times, something along those lines. Crazy amount of time. Have got an image from Deb normally, but this one looks like it's come from Sweet. And we have gone and put our 12 lines together without collaborating in any way and without saying anything about what we might be thinking about the image, and we just give that to Deb, and Deb has the duty to, a bit like the whole program really, to make it sure it all comes together, Hatter, and is, you know, makes it some sense.
So where is this picture? Oh, she's going to wait till she's here?
No, I just sent it to you in your inbox. It will be,
it'll
be blind collaboration number 82. And
82.
Jesus.
Once you see it, you'll sort of realize why she chose it, considering the fact that the trip is coming up. And there's a little bit of Wonderland, and there's a little bit of Oz. And other than that, we can't talk about the art anymore, but I can't wait to see what you do with it. And she's very excited to have provided the art for you. So let's see what you guys can do.
We can we'll do something, Hatter, like as we always do, you know. Some people
freaking
would say it's
a flying monkey.
Impossible.
A flying monkey on the right.
Hey, no talk about it.
Say anything. Can't say anything.
No talk.
No. Zip it.
Just write down 12 lines and send them to me, and we'll chat about it next week when Sweet's here.
Oh, okay. Not right now.
Thank you.
Okay. Cool. And on a side note, Deb, that raven looks remarkably good on the front cover of a book. Anyway, putting that to one side,
Doesn't it now?
About that.
I knew you would like that. That's why I did two different fonts. And another really cool thing, everyone, the competition for Winter Park has been posted, and the art will come out between the 23rd and the 29th. And a team of voices, along with Kay and Steven, have thrown a whole bunch of points at Mark, and this year's contest is worth a million points. So get your reserve in, and just remember to wait for the new art to come out, because anything you see on the site right now is just samples of the artists so that you can see who appeals to you and then watch to see what they come out with. So the 23rd to the 29th.
Okay, so it's not actually the art. Okay.
And AP Taylor is one of the official judges this year. So just saying.
I'm putting on my best possible judging outfit and doing my best, Deb, with a whole heap of very skilled poets. So I'm sure they'll carry me. So, okie doke. What are we going to do? We've got three poems on the board, which would be Deb's, yours, and mine. Where do we want to start? Deb?
Well, you're in charge, dude, so where do you want to start?
Well, it very rarely is the case that mine goes first, so I'm going to do mine first. Why not? Okay, let's see if I can get this on the board. Every time I try and copy this, I tell you, I'm on the laptop, and iPad, I am picking up shortly because I left it in the city, which wasn't very sensible. So, and I'm so much better on the laptop, I can't begin to tell, on the iPad. I can't begin to tell you. I'm on the laptop, and it's like, God, it takes me forever. Anyway. I think I can do it. Okay, here we go. Ready, Hatter? This is Orange Turns Red. And it goes a little bit like this. Tin can was thrown on the side of the road, glinted dark green in the midday sun rays. And when the wind turned it over, it glowed. Quickly caught on dry glass, then ablaze. Breezes were ready this morn off the north, surged as they rattled the trees' crowns. When found kin, they soon accelerated forth, while smoke rising followed by browns. Orange, it raced across the tinder dry grass, soon picking up vibrant reds along the way, while smashing the greens on the way past, a light roar soon it turned to a deep bray. As a steam locomotive, it roared and scuffed toward and through the gums on a high hill. And its engine roared while steam it huffed. Onwards its flames went after the kill. Through the stands it travelled without halt until the clouds formed to storms, then rain. The locomotive stopped in the siding, a dark result, lay at rest all over the plain. In pump.
Well, let's start with the art. Sorry, Hatter. It got quiet, so I figured I better say. But no, let's start with the art. Really, really cool. The shading and stuff. Wow. Orange turns red. I think that the image all through here is really cool. I think it's in the middle. Orange raced across the tinder dry grass, soon picking up vibrant reds along the way, while smashing the greens on the way past, a light roar soon had turned to a deep bray. And there's such a sadness in there because it's burning. The orange and reds are really pretty until you put them in flames that fry stuff and turn them brown and gray. And then at the end, through the strands, it traveled without halts until the clouds formed to storms, then rain. Locomotive stopped in the siding, a dark result. White, the smoke lay at rest all over the plain. And it, of course, puts you in mind of when you guys had those horrible brush fires out there where they could pick up the smoke on the satellites and stuff. And so I think that the visuals here.
Yeah, I remember witnessing some grass fires, and they can move very, very quickly, as everybody knows. But
very quickly.
I think to witness, because grass burns white smoke, and then every once in a while you'll be watching the white smoke, and then all of a sudden you'll see black smoke, and you know somebody's house or an outbuilding or some other structure has just been taken. And it's just when you see that, everybody's looking at it. You can't quite see because of the tree line what's being threatened, but it's a feeling of dread when that black smoke hits it, and they all feel it.
Yes. Yeah, agreed. No, agreed. It's a heck of a thing to actually watch that smoke build, and as you say, to see that smoke change color. Yeah.
Yeah.
So and they can look really scary. The smoke that's coming up really can. So, thank you guys. Hannah, did you want to put your poem up on the board?
Yeah, hold on 1 second. Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
Well, not with silence.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had to check on Joy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think I put mine up there.
You did. So did you want to read that for us, Hannah?
Yeah, let me get to it. And that should be... Okay. Called Back to ATOV. Just sort of rang. So go like this. I did not think I had to know the reasons why it followed me, so I bought what was the day in May so I might remember that night in December. The empty rooms where I learned to love filled with smoke from clouds above. Be certain the moon is not running away, knowing what looms from my yesterday. Smoke rings will dream while drifting alone, flying through moss like rolling stone. Keeping what's mine in a style of rhyme, I need to read. It needs to read this way. Tell me there is someone out there that's trying to find where I am. Someone who knows and looks like you. Someone that understands. You will find the words I wrote the most posted to a smoky sky. Read them back one by one so you can't say I did not try. Keep my heart under lock, key and lock, tucked inside my poetry. I will try to walk, but I'll run back to ATOV. End poem.
There you go. Walk, not run. Run, not walk. I'm halfway dangerous running these days, Hatter. So I tend to walk. But I kind of like that you get find our little group, you know, to be, you know, that supportive of you that you can write about it and feel comfortable about it. I think it's a very good thing that you can feel so comfortable about the group that you want to run back to it, and that it's a place of comfort for you.
Because I'm an angry poet.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, we managed to put up with that Hatter, obviously, so that's cool.
Well, you can sort of tell it starts one way. I'm sort of lost, but it starts drifting another way.
Yes.
I shut it down.
Deb, what did you think of Hatter's speech?
Well, for starters, Hatter, you're not allowed to run away. Just saying, you're stuck here with us. And, you know, where it's a couple lines or a couple stanzas down, smoke rings will dream while drifting alone, flying through moss like a rolling stone. The sadness of the drifting alone part matches your voice today for some reason. You know, we'll talk about that later. And then in the stanza, you will find the words I write the most posted in the smoky sky, sky, sky. And that just struck me funny because, again, you cannot write sky anymore without triple in it. And I find that hysterical. But, you know, I thought that this came out really cool. And then I will try to walk, but I bet I'll run back to ATOV, which, you know, the thought that you're running back is fantastic, but do you try to walk? You can't. You just got to stay. And you won't have to worry about walking or running. And in all truth here, I don't think either one of you guys should be trying any running, especially
definitely not.
Just saying. Cool share, Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. I was going to say, Heather, that there was my father-in-law, who's no longer with us, he, a holiday house up just north of the airport, and he sort of had the thinking that we would come up there every summer and spend time there, yeah? And it had all of the, you know, mod cons, and it had a swimming pool, and he worked very hard to have a sort of sports thing there and all that sort of stuff. There was only a couple of major problems, yeah? There was only a couple of major problems. Well, the first one was that the only way into the place was sort of 3-4 kilometers through the bush one way, and then you'd have to double back 3-4 kilometers the other way. And so what that meant was if you needed to get out when there was a fire there, and it happened to have a forest to the north, which is not very helpful, then it would be difficult to do so. You'd need to get out very early, is what I'm saying. Second problem was...
In order to get to run away, you'd have to run into it, right?
You'd effectively have to run into it to get out of it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And along a dirt track for 4K too, which is no fun if fires are burning because the, you know, scrub's right next to you.
That's a good reason. That's a good argument. That's a good argument. So that we should have followed Tesla because we could have had those jet packs by now and just zoomed out of there.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Anyway, second problem. Somebody had very helpfully planted a whole heap of cypress trees along the driveway. And the problem with cypress trees is that they don't burn. They sort of explode with flame because they've got oil in them, yeah? So the cypress trees were a second problem as far as fire is concerned. The third fairly significant problem is that he hadn't done his local research and there was an arsonist in his area which he'd bought in.
An alchemist?
An arsonist. They lit fires.
Arsonist. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Right, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And so he had, in the space of the 6 years he was there, he had 3 fires get within 500 metres of his house, 2 from the north and 1 from the south. God help me, 1 from the south. Unbelievable. Anyway, so he had fences burned and he had some out things singed. But at the end of the day, he actually unfortunately passed away before any of that became a problem. But he really did buy something in a hell of an area.
Hey, the dream's alive.
Oh man.
But, yeah.
At some point we'll have to talk about, because he'd never been on a farm before, and somebody saw him coming. because this property was on stony ground, the soil was awful, fences were hopeless, and so you try to grow crops and they'd get a foot off the ground and the kangaroos would eat them. And then if you try a gist like cattle or something like that, they'd just run straight through the fences. So this property was an absolute dog of a property. It really was. It's just an absolute shocker.
It's that swampland. Bummer.
Look, you know, it was a classic where somebody saw a city guy coming and said, buy this. And he said, oh, cool, looks great. Yeah.
Buyer beware.
Ooh.
Yeah, buyer beware. Sure.
Buyer beware. Exactly. Exactly right. So
they didn't catch the arsonist?
Yeah. No, they're still out there, Hatter.
Damn.
They're still out. So, no, they never caught the arsonist. They're still rolling away. So, anyway, there's that.
Yeah, it seems like the biggest fires are always started by some lawnmower or some catalytic converter, some stupid thing that ends up burning millions of acres.
Well, you know that biggest the fire that I said came from the south, the one that almost that was in November, which is not traditionally in the fire season. That was a fire lit by the people trying to stop there being fires. It was a back burn that got out of control.
Ooh,
and
they don't like to talk about that.
A back burn that control took out a number of houses. Fortunately, not my father-in-law's house, but it did take out a number of houses. And the thinking there was that was started the day before the Melbourne Cup. And so the thinking was that everybody was sitting there watching the horse racing and not actually watching what the hell the fire was doing. So I'm not sure what the inquiry said, probably hushed it all up. But at the end of the day, it's a little embarrassing when your back burn burns more of the place than the last three or four fire seasons have. It certainly got rid of a lot of stuff to burn.
Is your problem mainly fuel or is it winds
it's actually a combination of both, Hatter. We get these horrible north winds that gust over, you know, 80, 90 mile an hour. And, you know, they just pick up the smallest flame or fire and turn it into something that's really quite awful. So it's mainly the wind, But of course, you know, you've got to have the wind doesn't generate typically a fire. You've got to have the fire start somehow. But once it starts, having that sort of wind makes it very hard to stop. And they go, as Deb was saying, incredibly quickly.
Yeah, it doesn't take, when those huge forest wildland fires become so big, they create their own weather patterns.
That's it, they do.
The speed in which they can walk across a forest or a tree line is incredible. And the firestorm is always above you. It doesn't usually chase you. If it comes over, it'll just walk over the top of you before you know it.
Yeah. It's so quick that by the time that you're in it, you're already too late. Yeah.
Yeah, and everything inside just starts blowing up, exploding from the heat.
Yes.
Incredible thing to see.
Yes. Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, it is. It's dreadful. And, you know, you've had terrible fires up your way. We've had some terrible fires down our way too over the last series of years. Not so much the last year or two, but not too far beyond that. And, I suspect we continue to will continue to have them, Hatter. So
yeah,
as the
that's the price of being that's the price of being good at suppressing. We got so good at putting the fires out, we forgot that they that they're supposed to. They have to burn, and we stopped it
well,
and built a big bomb.
Our bush has to burn. Yeah, that's the only way it regenerates. So it has to burn. It's a matter of, you know, when it burns and how it burns.
They just got to quit building in certain areas. I mean, trying to come to save you.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right, Hatter. There's certain areas that, you know, probably, you know, should not be built on. And if they are built on, they should be built in very specific ways.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, anyways. Deb, did you want to put your poem on the board?
Sure thing.
Mine's
called Silver Starlight Deaths. Here we go. Above the rooftop chimney smoke, over the towering cypress trees, the moon glows from the velvet sky and the star wings mirrored on the seas. Constellations twinkle with platinum hues, flickering freckled hydrogen and helium light, blinking round the moon for the astral show as the glints turn black into dots of white. Shooting over the ebony view like space funerals, starlight leaves streams of smoke tails as they fly, with the tails of gas and dust blazing in the trails. Then stars hold the wishes whispered as they die. End poem.
That's neat. I like that.
No, the wishes die or the stars die?
Well, everybody likes to make a wish on a shooting star, you know, when you wish upon a star and all that.
That's
a shooting star is actually a star dying, so it's a star's death.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Not really a star.
Hatter, did you want to say a few words about that poem?
I love the images that she brought up. Yeah, I did see the shooting star. I just didn't see him dying. I didn't relate to that. Shooting over the ebony view. Okay, does this have a word bank? Are you word banking this or no?
Nah.
Oh, this is just. Thank you.
I can't help
it.
Joy. You recognize the words because I'm the one who made the word banks, but now just from my head.
Say hi, Joy.
Hi, Joy.
Hi. Hi, Joy. How are you?
Yeah.
Hi,
good.
How you doing?
How about you?
I'm doing great. Getting ready to go to work, so.
Yeah. Go fight crime.
Well, that works hard.
No.
Exactly.
All right. You guys have a good evening.
All right.
Thank you. You too. Deb, I, it sort of made me think about the song, really. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Yeah, you know, something like that. You know, I sort of went all sort of songy, sentimental on it. So that's sort of cool.
More like like in the Garden of Vida, baby. Don't you know that I love you?
No, I didn't go there. No, I didn't. No. No, I didn't.
But it's
anyway.
In the Garden of Eden, you know. In the Garden of Eden. Okay.
I know that. No, I've got it. But no, I just went the sort of, you know, the Disney stuff. I G-rated all that stuff out. I did like, though, that there's a little bit of science in it, because let's face it, there's not enough science in the world. Yep. And so having a little bit of, you know, trailing of constellations and having a bit of freckled hydrogen and helium goes a long way. You know, you're going to ask people what the heck helium is, and most of them look at you as if your two faces are round. Yeah, so I'm all for including science in poetry, and that's what this does.
You know what I found? An app.
Yes,
one of the apps that you don't have to really pay for it, that changes your voice, but you have to just record it, but you are able to save it and play it back free of charge.
Oh.
So it's got the helium affected in that other gas, the other gas that makes it, your voice real low. I forget what it's called.
Oh, okay.
But it's got all sorts of effect. I was going to try it out. I was going to try it out for tonight and see how it sounded, but I spaced out on it. We'll try it again later.
There
it is.
Okay, well, there you go. I mean, I actually thought that there was more helium than this, but it's only 0.0005% of the Earth's atmosphere helium.
Yeah.
And constantly lost. We'll have to do a program on that, Adam. Helium. We'll have to do a program on it.
Helium? The properties versus hydrogen?
No, just helium. Just for the fun of it.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Oh, we can do a whole show on helium. Go get our balloons.
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
What do you think, Deb?
I think so.
Do a helium show. Can't talk unless you're on helium.
Well,
get your balloons.
It's not really good for people with asthma, let alone healthy lungs.
Yes.
But it is cool to hear the voice that comes with it. And
yes,
since there is a helium shortage, I would say it would be a cool topic.
Okay. We'll keep that in mind.
I thought helium after oxygen and hydrogen, I thought helium was the next abundant element in our atmosphere. That's wrong, right? Isn't it argon? Is it argon?
Well, just like everything else in abundance, we use and abuse it until it's on the edge of running out. And for a while, you played hell trying to find a tank if you wanted to blow up balloons for a party. I don't know.
We got plenty of air. That's no danger. I read it on the internet. Must be true.
Catter, we've got 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, 0.9% argon, and 0.1% everything else. Argon.
Oh, boy. There we go. That's right.
Yep. Argon.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
Oxygen.
So, there you go. For the record.
Okey-dokey.
So, Adeb, did you want to say a few words about what's coming up on A Team of Voices?
Well, sure. On Monday at 10 o'clock, on Personal Prompt Monday, we have Hatter quotes to inspire us, along with some really cool art that I pulled from, I believe, Fine Arts America, which I get stuff from there quite often. And then, I'm just trying to remember if, no, I think that's next week. So I see that Pretty Bird was going to try to do a show on the 18th. I don't see a topic yet, and hopefully she's feeling up to it. So we have that. And then I still tying stuff up, so it might not be another show until we get together on Saturday, unless Hatter decides to do a music show in between there. So for the moment, hang out Monday with us for personal prompts and hang out Tuesday with Bird, keep an eye on for her topic board.
Cool.
I come from a land of thunder. You're lost in thunder.
And meanwhile, it's going to be 3 weeks, Hannah, until you start sort of heading this way, I think. It's not long.
Not long at all. I'm getting nervous. Getting nervous.
Not long. Not long. Well, you know, it's not worth getting nervous about. I mean, you know, the cars go the wrong way. Water goes down the plug the wrong way.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear.
No, Southern Hemisphere.
Everything outside can kill you. Yeah, everything outside can kill you. Walk around
not
and rough,
city,
walk around
but,
in bubble wrap. Got to wrap, bubble wrap yourself.
No, the cities aren't too bad. I mean, you know, they tend to be fairly user-friendly. You get out in the bush, and, yeah, look, at basically everything can kill you. And
well,
yeah,
I asked that question to you about, you know, being aware out in the bush, and you go, oh, it's movement.
Yeah.
Just be aware of movement. It's
movement.
Because my night's ever so you feel movement out of the corner of my eye. No, it's like it's like knowing I'm in rattlesnake country. I'm not far from it. There's rattlesnakes around the rivers,
yeah.
So I know
no,
when I'm
don't.
There.
Yeah, exactly. It's an instinctual thing.
Just gotta get
bitten
by a cane toad.
But the good news is, Hatter, it's actually as cold as all hell, and that will mean that snakes are actually sitting hibernating as we speak. Because it's too friggin' cold for them to be out and about.
Not too bitchy.
And of all of the things that, you know, are nasty here in Oz, that, you know, in this part of the world anyway, snakes are the number one problem.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So, yeah.
Here you got a new spider.
Don't have snakes, sorry, Hannah?
I heard they got a new. They found a new spider, another bird-eating spider from Queensland.
Oh yeah, there's always spiders around somewhere. But you know, there's always spiders in different places. I don't get too scared about spiders. They're not. We don't get big spiders here, Adam. They're only small. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't get bird-eating spiders here. Yeah, it just doesn't happen. Yeah. Well, not in my part.
I had heard of Queensland many times in my life, some of the territories of Australia. I never really researched much until lately, but I didn't know you have a rainforest. Queensland, there's a rainforest, and you have
Queensland
Komodo
does.
Dragons on the North Shore. Komodo dragons, give me a break. My God.
No, we don't have Komodo dragons. We don't have Komodo dragons.
You got everything but a pterodactyl, but you got pterodactyls.
We don't. No. We don't. Adam, it's okay. We don't have Komodo dragons. They're named because they're in Indonesia on the island. Yeah. So you know they're not. They're things are fine that way. As I said, the major issue here is snakes, and most of them will be sleeping because they will be too bloody cold to do anything else.
Red-eyed birds. They can 6 feet tall. Yeah.
No. Well, look, there's magpies, but they're a problem in spring, and you're not here in spring, so that's okay.
What's the number one killer of humans every year in Australia? Is it a brown snake, or is it what is it?
Good question. No. There's only 50, 60 people die of sharks every year. It's not that much. I've got a feeling it's something stupid like horses because people get run over by them.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. There you go. Pissed off llamas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And because, you know.
Or box jellyfish or something.
Deadliest animals in the world, it's snakes and then dogs.
Dogs. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not. I would have told you, really, wow.
Yeah,
worldwide.
Seriously. Yep, snakes, then dogs.
I did hear in Australia, though, they're having a problem with packing dogs. They're not afraid of humans. They come raid, they roam at night. Is that true?
Yeah, but only if you're right out the back of nowhere. Yeah.
It could be more of Western Australia. Okay.
So I'm looking at a report here. It says that during a 10-year period, horses, cows, and dogs were the most frequent culprits in Australia. Horses, cows, and dogs, in that order.
And dogs. Wow.
Horses, cows, and dogs. Yeah.
Horses can be dangerous because they have an intelligence. Cows can be dangerous because they're big. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And coming in at number four was kangaroos.
Kangaroo.
Yep. Kangaroos. Followed by bees and then sharks.
Bees and then sharks.
Yep.
Okay. Wow.
So the thing that you should be most worried about, Hatter, are horses.
A pilot? Oh, probably the plane I come in on.
Horses. Followed by cows and dogs. Okay? Horses, cows, dogs. There you go. That's the top three.
I love horses.
They're lovely things. I agree. They just kill people. Not many of them, but they do. So, but that's the official numbers. So, yes, there are awful, horrible things like snakes and whatever else. But the good news is that we've got really good anti-venom for that stuff. So if you get bitten by them, they usually just have a nasty little time getting anti-venom and then you're okay.
Can't you carry a kid on you or something instead of being, he's 3 hours from the nearest hospital. Good luck.
Well, the problem with that is that the anti-venom is different for each different snake. There's not a common anti-venom that goes across all of the snakes, right?
Yeah,
got to work out what the snake is first, yeah?
Right. Okay. Well, you're going to be going on eyewitness testimony at the hospital too, right? You're not going to be...
But they look at what the bite mark is and all that sort of stuff, and anyway, there you go. I have put down in the absence of snakes, because we won't have any because it's going to be too cold. But there still will be spiders about. We have nice looking spiders, Hatter. That's a redback spider. We do have them. They're common here.
So, which is equal to the black widow here, correct?
Yeah, they're nasty bastards. Yes, you don't really want to be dealing with. So that's my only safety thing. If it's got a bloody great big red piece on the back of the spider, don't touch it.
Hey, Hatter.
When
we're kids and we walk down the sidewalk and we say, if you step on a crack, you break your mother's back? Well, Oz, it's a brown snake will bite you and better watch out.
It's okay. The brown snake.
They don't have a good delivery system.
Right. Well, AP
right. Huh? That's exactly right. They're bloody old, and they've only got grooves, so they don't have full-on fangs like cobras, and so they're substantially less poisonous than they otherwise would be. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that they didn't have to evolve on being able to inject.
No, they're very old. No, they're very, very, very old. Yeah? And so, But, look, fortunately, we're not going to the parts of Australia which have the top two venomous snakes in the world. So we'll stay clear of those places.
Is that the mamba and the brown snake, or is that the Taipei?
That's
or whatever that is.
The type ends. The black mamba's actually down at number 10, Hatter. 10, the black mamba. The boom slang's down at 8. That's down in South Africa.
Okay, that is most cases that end up fatal, or is that the
how poisonous the venom is. And so the type comes in at number 7. tiger snakes come in at number 7, and they're quite a nice looking animal, but they are.
Oh, tiger snakes.
You know.
Yeah, tiger snakes.
Yeah, they are nasty.
Wow.
King cobras come in at 3. The coastal taipan comes in at 2, and the inland taipan, of course, comes in at number 1. But we're not going to Queensland, and that is the home of the inland taipan and the coastal taipan.
I always thought Queensland was a great sounding place to come from, but then I learned what's there. It's not so hospitable,
yeah.
Is it?
No. There's a couple of crocodiles around too, and they're not relevant. Taipans are, you know, I used to run a fertilizer business, and the taipans for the snakes you used to find in the used fertilizer bags.
It's like a bamboo snake. They called it in Vietnam or something. They called it the 10-step or the 100-step snake or something. Is that the it's a small little thing that pretty well hangs up above you.
Yeah.
Bamboo?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think the nasty thing about the coastal and inland taipan is that they're actually very strong and fast, and so they just jump at you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that's not very pleasant. They're in Queensland, and we're not going to Queensland.
Yeah. Now, is that the one that they called, or they nicknamed the 100 step or something, 10 step? Do you know which one
good
that
question.
Is? Because I think that's the name they gave it. It's not the species name, you know.
I will have to do some research on that.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to remember which one is there in Queensland. It really bothered me that I thought Queensland sounds like such a cool place because you have Queensland blue healers, you know. My brother had healers. Sounds good. Then it's not that nice a place compared to California, you know.
Look, I mean, you know, it. I mean, We have some nasty snakes. Yes.
Yeah. I look at it. There's quite a few people living in Australia. It can't be too bad.
No, it's absolutely fine, Hatter. We're quite relaxed about these things.
I just worry about that. Well, didn't he read the manual? As I'm in the hospital. Didn't he do it?
You don't need to read the manual. It's all good.
Now, and you're all 220, right? You have to convert your electricity down. You just have to step it down from the receptacle, like England.
No. We're 240 volts. Hatter.
Yeah. Okay. That's. Cleats the same 240, right? See, we're 120
so
or 110.
Yeah, I know.
So you can.
I know. And
you got to step it down from the plug. You got to step it down.
True. That's true. And so you won't be able to use your shaver or something like that here because it'll be completely different. 240 volts is really useful. It's just bloody strong, man. That's
dangerous. It's dangerous.
Has a kick. I don't think I told you about my story. Once when I was first going down the country, we had these guys that were over the other side of the road, and we went over there to play cricket. Yeah, and they had the bull in the paddock next to the house, and so they had the electric fence on. Yeah. 40 volts, and they watched quite amusingly as I climbed the fence. bang. I was 5 feet away from the fence on my back. 5 feet away. Through me.
Did you grab it with both hands, one hand? Will you jump up on it, or what happened?
Yeah, no, I climbed it. I was off the ground. I had it both hands.
Do you need 220? You need 240 volts to in order to keep whatever you want out.
Well, it seems to do a good job. I mean, it threw me about 5 feet.
Oh yeah. Oh no, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. But you know, I don't know. I don't think they put that around the elephant, top of the elephant range, compounds, but I'm not sure now. 240 is, yeah, that's not a little tang. That's not a little sting. Yeah.
I know that's not a sting. That's a whoop. That's what that is, Hatter.
You know, and there is a difference. Now, I've met electricians. I worked as an electrician for many years. Now, I know guys that can grab, like, the coil wire of the old cars and turn it over, and it'll shock you.
Yeah.
But they'll grab it and go, yeah, okay,
yeah,
that's hot. They'll know that coil wire is working. Now,
yeah.
I do that. I get slammed back 3 feet, even from a coil on an engine.
Yes.
It's not fun for me. Inside a kitchen, you get 20 amps. Those are 20-amp receptacles, and everything in appliance runs on 20-amp circuits. I was on my belly one time. The cabinet guys covered our receptacle, so I had to go find it. So I'm belly down underneath this, inside this cabinet, and then somebody turned the damn electricity on, and I hit that with my, I can't remember if it was my saw or screwdriver, so I was cleaning out the box.
Yeah.
It's like my head was a basketball being dribbled out of that thing. I mean, it was, I about quit that day. But there's other guys that can take that. They can take a zap, but no big deal. I'm one that can't. I get hit with 220. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what happens.
240, to tell you, that's enough to blow your back the fair way. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
You learn the lesson, Anna. You learn the lesson once. And you don't do it twice.
No. I learned that how to step over a hot wired fence and keep range cattle out of your bean fields. You know, you take your shovel, because you've always got your shovel because you're a damn farmer, and you put the wire to the metal post. So, because the wire goes around the post with an insulator, it doesn't touch the post because that's going to be grounded. But you ground it by taking your shovel, hitting the hot wire, then leaning against the metal post, and the electricity goes off as long as that is shorted to the is grounded. But the trick is seeing your shovel start to fall as you're halfway over.
Yep.
You do that once too.
exactly. However, it's interesting to note the difference, because when I was down in the bush, you know, and we'd go down to get the mail, the grown up who would come with us would not carry a shovel.
And where were you again?
Down at Portland. We're a little, you know, down further down the coast. But they would not carry a shovel, Hannah. You know what they would carry?
What?
A loaded shotgun.
Okay, what were you doing down there? I mean, we're
going to get the mail.
Hunting.
And they would walk behind us with a loaded shotgun.
Dangerous mail. I hope it was important.
Yeah.
No, well, it's just because, you know, if you see a snake and it's coming at you, if you've got a loaded shotgun, you just blow the crap out of it, Hatter, and you don't have to aim it well. Now, snakes are well protected these days. So, of course, boys and girls, don't do what I do. Just, you know, you can't do that now because they're protected. But back in the day when they weren't, if they were coming at you, you'd just back and let the adult put a shotgun at it. That fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't do that now?
Nah, they're protected.
Yeah, the farm I grew up on, you can't even shoot anymore. You used to go bird hunting and squirrel hunting. Now you can't even fire.
No, you can't do it anymore. Anyway. Oh, well, we should finish up the show, I guess, Hannah, and say thank you to everybody, to yourself, to Deb.
Hey, man. My monsters are real.
Yes, and the greatest team of voices, and we should say well done to Squeak for being interviewed for great national fame and stardom, and we have got next week The Monster Within, and we have homework, Hatter. We've got to get 12 lines on the appropriate imagery.
12 lines. Okay. Yeah, that's an odd picture.
So,
that's an odd picture. They knew they were combining the two.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And I know
that it has nothing to do with next week, but if you hit refresh, you can play an outro song. It'll be the top thing in the studio.
I'm refreshing the studio. Oh, that's nice. Okay, cool. But we're going out with a little bit of music that might be familiar from earlier on. Bye, everybody. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Adam.
Love and respect, everyone. Within, and who knows what music we'll have this time for that.
Start again. Thank you, everybody, and we'll catch you next week. Bye, everybody.
All right.
Thank
see you later. Bye, Deb.
See ya.